Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, and having food distributed to all on our planet. And in that silence also, we can hold anyone in our consciousness for health and healing and recovery. Just notice your thoughts. If your thoughts are in the future, in the past, gently bring your thought to the present moment, to right now. Envision silver white light moving up your spinal pathway, beginning at your seat, moving up your spine, past your waistline and your shoulder blades, and your neck, all the way up, up to the top of your head, your crown chakra. Now place your attention at the point between your eyebrows and know as I speak these words for me, I speak them for you also, and I speak them in the I person. There is one presence, one power in the universe. One. It is the fullness of divine wisdom and intelligence, creativity. It is divine order, and it is unconditional love. It is omnipresence itself, everywhere present. I am immersed in it. It is my very life. Therefore, this presence and power expresses around me, in me, through me, and as me, now and always. Today, right here and now, I dive more deeply into letting go and releasing. Releasing ideas, thoughts, beliefs, that up until now have been obstacles to my expressing and experiencing my divine birthright, true prosperity in every area of my life. I especially release thoughts of unworthiness. Today, I remember who I really am, an expression of God, worthy of my finest version, of my highest vision, for my life. Realizing I am co-creative with the infinite presence and power, I am aware of where I am focusing my attention. Now I focus on true abundance, my heart's desires, the blessings that are in my life, the beauty that is in my life, all the while realizing that my outer world is a reflection of my inner world. I bring to the banquet of life my consciousness. My consciousness of physical health, emotional wellness, mental clarity, spiritual maturity, support and love in relationships, and true prosperity, affluence, even opulence. I'm thankful for this conscious realization of who I really am. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. We're just shy of a month before Easter time on the calendar, and Easter time in New Thought is about mastery. Jesus the Christ was not an exception, he was an example. And one of the things that he said was, I have come to give you life, and to give you life more abundantly. More abundantly. So today's topic is releasing obstacles to prosperity. And at the center, we hold prosperity in a far greater context than money alone. And of course it includes money. A wonderful definition of prosperity is to thrive, to flourish, to be successful in every area of our life, in every area of our life. Now, a key to true prosperity is releasing, because the universe abhors a vacuum. So when we release things, we clear the space for newness to flow in. Now, we've laid some good groundwork this month, being the month of releasing in March as our spiritual focus. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about releasing physical, mental, and emotional clutter in our lives. Last week, it was about releasing, letting go of relationships that do not work. Today is releasing obstacles to prosperity. Now, this could be a whole week-long workshop. It certainly could be a day-long. So we're going to touch on a few, but my first point is that the biggest obstacle is always associated around fear. Fear of some sort or other. And the last couple of weeks, I've been speaking about three major, what are called universal fears. And I'll touch on them in a few minutes. But we want to tie them in, that those into looking at how they are obstacles to prosperity. Now the second point, and it's a point that I touch on many times at the center, because the center, being a new thought center, is very grounded in metaphysics. Somebody say, well, that's a marmalade word. What, Sam, does it mean? Metaphysics, beyond the physical. So some of the things that we could say as statements that are absolutely true, that metaphysicians have now proven, quantum physicists have now proven. And if we actually not only hear it, but take it home and start applying these statements to every area of our life. If we look at our life, there's our life of our relationship with ourselves and our body and our health and healing. Then there's relationship with other people. Then there's relationship with substance, whether it's things, our career, our money, whatever. So when we look at this word metaphysics and start thinking about what is a statement that could very easily, I could just know in my mind and start applying it to every area of my life. I've used this statement many times. Matter obeys the intent of consciousness. Matter obeys the intent of consciousness. Very powerful workshop I was at, and many of you were at, A Millionaire Mind, I believe, Harv Eckert mentioned, if not at that one, maybe it was another one I was at that he was facilitating, but he was speaking about us putting out what it is we desire in life. And a lot of times people say, I want. And then there's a deeper thing to say than I want, is I desire, and then I choose. But something that's far more powerful than I want, I desire, I choose is I intend. So just look in your consciousness right now. Do you intend prosperity in your life? Or is it just something that you would like, desire, maybe even choose? But intend? Gee, maybe I have something to do here then. Of course. Another way of saying this and understanding these very simple laws of metaphysics is where our attention goes, what we put our focus of attention on, where our attention goes, energy flows. Everything is energy. We are energy. Our thoughts are energy. Our attention is energy. Where our attention goes, energy flows, and results show. That's the same thing as matter obeys the intent of consciousness. When I began the Center for Self-Awareness 15 and a half years ago, in my opening address here in this room, I said, all ideas have electromagnetic spheres of energy that attract to them whatever they need to manifest. I heard that 30 years ago from one of my metaphysician teachers. And that's true. All ideas, whether they're about prosperity or scarcity, have electromagnetic spheres of energy that attract to them whatever they need to manifest. So in releasing obstacles to prosperity, we need to be metaphysicians in our life and be very conscious of some of these simple metaphysical principles, knowing that we're creating all the time. And the third point, I said in the meditation, that life is a banquet, but how about looking at life as a potluck? What are you bringing to the potluck? There's something that we bring to this potluck of life. And what we bring is our consciousness. We bring our consciousness. And I'll expand on that in a moment. Last couple of weeks, I was sharing with you a lot of what Greg Braden says in Walking Between the Two Worlds, speaking about the three universal fears. And he made a statement similar to this, that we create patterns of relationship showing us our fears. Well, somebody might take that sentence and only think about relationship, my relationship with you, Trish. No, we create patterns of relationship that show us our fears. The relationship is our relationship with our body, our relationship with people, whether they're significant people in our life or not, and our relationship with physical substance shows up as either scarcity or prosperity. So we create patterns in our relationship that show us our fears. And what again are those three fears that you're going to hear a lot more about it, because this has made such a difference to me when I start to think about in my own life, when I coach people and all the people that I've had the opportunity to be with, and what a blessing they've been to me throughout my years, is that if we look deep enough, if we go deep enough, they stem from one of these three fears. And the first fear is the fear of separation or abandonment. And that can show up in a lesser way, like just even being afraid of not being approved of, or you're going to criticize me. But that fits into that thought of separation and abandonment. And the second fear is the fear of not being good enough, unworthiness. And the third fear is a fear surrounding surrender, and I don't mean give up, I mean allowing, and trust. Okay? Now, when we look at fear, I love the acronym of around fear, F-E-A-R. Fear, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. When I mention Harv Eckert's name, he is the president of Peak Potentials, and I'm very impressed with the organization. It's fastly becoming the number one personal development company in Canada. And he himself, Harv Eckert, the facilitator, the key facilitator, went from zero to a millionaire in 2.5 years. And he's a wonderful blend of the wisdom of Deepak Chopra and the energy and excitement of a Tony Robbins. And he lives in Vancouver. And he comes to Victoria, and now they're spreading out all over Canada doing different workshops. Something that he said, very similar to this F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. He says, fear is not real, it's a story we've made up. So let's just, you know, think about that for a moment. Any of our fears, is this a story I've made up? It is. It's a story we've made up. It's a story made up about what we think might happen. And all reasons that we can't do something, this is what he said, it's all BS. And I'm not talking about bull poop. I'm talking about BS. It's a basic story that we live out of. All reasons of I can't. And if you look at that word, I can't, it's got apostrophe T, like this, that's the crucifixion of I can. It's the crucifixion of I can. I said earlier about these fears, and one of the fears is unworthiness. It's not so much that we receive in life what we deserve, We receive in life what we think we deserve, and there's a big difference. It's been said that as a child growing up, most of us have heard 24 no's to every yes. 24 no's to every yes. Do you think the child just might take some of that personally? I would say so. What might the child start to think about? I'm not good enough. I'm bad, therefore I need to be punished. I can't achieve. I don't deserve. Like that. I was reading a story, actually, and it was about Harv Eckert's wife, and he was telling this story about his wife, Rachel. And she got in touch with a story that she had about her life. And it came from when she was a little girl, about 7 or 8, and she would hear tinkle, tinkle, tinkle of the music of the ice cream man. And she'd run to her mommy saying, I want some ice cream. And her mommy would say, I don't have any money, go to your dad. Dad has the money. And this happened repeatedly. Repeatedly. And it was many years later, in an intensive workshop, that she got an aha, that was like a story that she had in her consciousness. What's the story? There's two things there. One thing is what? The man of the house has the money. What's the other thing? The mummy doesn't have the money. Got it? And then she started to live her life out of that. And out of that, the woman doesn't have the money. Even when she attracted money to her, she would spend it so fast that she didn't have it. That's very interesting. So, you know, when we look at these things, there's stories that we have about ourselves. There's stories that we have about rich people. What was said in your home about rich people growing up? There wasn't anything too positive in my house about rich people. Did you ever hear the word prosperity growing up? Most of us didn't. Some of you younger ones might have. How about how you feel when you hear these words? In the meditation, I said, affluence. Affluence. The root word is afflure, meaning to flow. Opulence. I love that word. I love the way it sounds. Opulence. Now, it's good for us to tell the truth about whether we feel uncomfortable with it. Last week, and in an email, I announced that this week was Tithing Sunday. Once a year, Tithing Sunday. How did you feel when you heard that? Happy? Yay, I'm coming for sure! There's a lot of people not here today. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying everybody that's not here stayed away for that reason. And there are some people that do stay away for that reason. So here's the thing. It would be like, it's for us to really look at what triggers us. And when we have a joyful feeling or when we have a feeling, you know, like, I would not be doing my spiritual duty as spiritual director of the center if we didn't address tithing a couple times a year. Because it is a prosperity principle. Prosperity principle. And don't read it now, but inserted in your program is a great, it was sent sent to me from the Intelligent Heart. It's out of the Intelligent Heart by David MacArthur. It says, caution, to be read only if you really want to grow. And it was an objective test about tithing. Yeah. Sometimes people think about just that word tithing. Oh, that's the way the church gets my money. Instead of realizing that we teach it as a method to expand our ability, your ability, my ability, to accept the richness of the world. It's a way of expanding our consciousness. Now, when I said earlier about these different sayings of metaphysics, matter obeys the intent of consciousness, where our attention goes, energy flows. Physical reality is light shaped by consciousness, and no form exists apart from consciousness. Underlying this podium is consciousness. It, in and of itself, as a physical form, it cannot exist by itself. So, where our attention goes, energy flows, and results show, matter obeys the intent of consciousness. It's like when we go to a restaurant, we get what we order. And we're ordering all the time by virtue of our ideas, our thoughts, our beliefs, and we order through our predominant ideas, what we're focusing our attention on. So just in looking at releasing obstacles to prosperity, we would, of course, and understanding and being a metaphysician, we would, of course, say, well, we need to start focusing on, if we desire, choose, intend prosperity, what would we focus on? Hello? Prosperity. Abundance. Wealth. Richness, opulence, affluence, those kinds of things. Yes? Yes, good. Focus on, and you know that song that you sang about the universe and about our earth, focus on beauty. Focus on our blessings. Focus on what we do have in our life, with a feeling of what? Gratefulness. Gratefulness. Do we count our blessings or do we discount our blessings? If we discount our blessings, we will not attract more of them. Have people in your life that you set up to support you, to remind you if you happen to slip into complaining. Complaining does not produce prosperity. There's a metaphysical principle under that. A good exercise to do is as soon as you wake up in the morning, to think about 10 things or people that you appreciate and think about why you appreciate them. Do you think that would kind of set the tone for having a good day? Yes. Paramahansa Yogananda, who is one of my spiritual mentors through books and other teachers, made the statement, environment is stronger than willpower. Environment is stronger than willpower. Another wonderful exercise is to list the five people that you spend most of your time with, average-wise, on an average day. There is such a thing as an average day. But the people that you spend the majority of your time with. Are they the consciousness you'd like to emulate? Or are you the one bringing them up all the time? Are they people, or maybe you are, that are waiting for the right time or the right circumstance to really start to live? I loved what you had to say, Heather. When then, people? When then, people? Are they prosperous people? Are they at a level of prosperity as where you are or higher? That's an interesting thing to look at. People we spend the majority of our time with. I had a really interesting observation to that when I did that exercise at a powerful weekend workshop in Vancouver. And I remembered when I was in real estate, I was always with people that were as prosperous as me and far more prosperous than I am. Since I got into ministry, I'm not. That's very interesting. So I'm shifting my what I do in my social life and who I be with and who I want to have lunch with and who I want like that to include people like that again. Now, I said earlier that life is a potluck. What are we bringing to the table? We bring our consciousness to the table. Now, in Scripture, Matthew 13:12 says this, and this is from the Aramaic text, translation from the Aramaic. For to him, and this is generically, him or her, for to him who has shall be given, and it shall increase to him. But to him who has not, even that which he has shall be taken from him. Huh? What are they talking about there? They're talking about consciousness. A person that has the consciousness, more will be given. So we're either attracting or repelling according to our consciousness. We're either attracting or repelling. Again, just a little note from the Millionaire Mind Seminar. We have a blueprint that came from three sources. What we've heard all the way back to when we first started here. What we've seen and what we've experienced. And this is a powerful statement. Anytime we have the slightest part of us that cringes when we hear wealth, richness, I'll say prosperity, opulence, affluence, anything to do with money, tithing, if anything is you know, there's like a cringe, there's a good chance that our blueprint doesn't support us being prosperous. So we need to change the blueprint by placing ourselves into environments that are conducive to us learning about easy metaphysics to put into our life, matter obeys the intent of consciousness, knowing what I want, looking to see if it's what I desire, am I actually choosing it day in and day out? And then do I actually take a deeper step and say, I intend that in my life. I intend that in my life. I go out today with the intention that everybody I talk to, everybody I touch, in thought, word, and deed, springs out of the intention that I have for myself and my life, a higher version of a highest vision for myself, and it's about that prosperous life. And again, do you remember that definition at the beginning? To thrive, that's good, right? Flourish, be successful in every area of my life, in every area of my life. Now, getting back to looking at how we are with prosperous people, do we bless them? Do we acknowledge them? And do we love them? Because I'll tell you, if we don't, we will not be prosperous. Because if we do not like them, if we envy them, if we're jealous of them, if we shun them, if we speak disparagingly about them, do you think we want to be them? To have people talk about us that way? There's an unconscious block there then. My mother used to call rich women rich bitches. She's a rich bitch.
You think I wanted to be a rich bitch? No. I had to work at that to achieve the prosperity that I live in my life now. And there are other levels to live in. I want to close with a story about making the analogy of that our life, if our life were represented with a tree, most of us would tend to, the majority of people tend to focus on the fruits, like the results. And if the fruits didn't taste good, they put most people put more focus on the fruit. Now, let's think about it being like a computer. Like, say we type something in, and we press print, and we read it, and there was a typo. Well, we took that sheet of paper, and we erased the typo, and we fixed the typo. And we pressed print again. And it came out, a typo was still there. We erased it again, cleaned it all up, nice white out and everything, pressed print again. The typo was still there. You see, that's exactly what people do when they're always trying to change the result instead of changing the programming. Because our outer world reflects our inner world. So releasing obstacles to prosperity is a huge subject. It's huge. And just parts of it this next week, I hope, as a result of being here today and kind of, you know, looking in different areas, you know, really searching, where are my fears? And do these fears impregnate me at a level that's producing scarcity in my life? Where are my fears? Do I actually, you know, one of the basic fears around Easter time, and I know that so many people on a subconscious level believe this because they've been programmed to believe this. In New Thought, the emphasis is on the resurrection, the new life, not the crucifixion. But what is it that most of us have been told that Jesus said on the cross? Just shout it out. What is it most of you, not what I've told you here, what most people have been told there. What did he say on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? That's one of the universal fears. Do you know that's a mistranslation? Ding, da, what? That is a mistranslation. From the Aramaic, he did not say, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said, my God, this was my destiny. There's a big difference. I got God bumps down both legs when I say that. This was my destiny. Why? To show us that we have eternal life. The only way that we could be shown that we are eternal spiritual beings is for him to allow the crucifixion so that he could be resurrected. That's a new thought Easter story. But if you've been trained and programmed and it's been promulgated that God deserted his only begotten son on the cross, of course God will desert me. Who, me? Look deep, question. Question what you've been told. Question what you have been educated to believe that produced a fear in you. Because true spirituality is healthy spirituality. It's about celebration. It's about excitement. It's about, hey, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? You know, like that. I know who you are. And we're here every Sunday for us to keep reminding ourselves at who we are as a spiritual being going through a human experience, and we're here to break through any and all barriers to our full self-expression. We are here to have life and have it more abundantly. And that isn't to say that we're not going to have challenges and problems along the way. But who we are as a spiritual being can break through that with standing in our faith and knowing that we have dominion and knowing that we're not separate from our Creator, that we're co-creative with God. Do you hear me? Yes? God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Thank you.